Forever Dog.
Rose and Jamie are two best friends,
and they love Sex and the City.
And they couldn't help but wonder,
do you love it too?
Carrie,
Miranda,
Samantha,
Charlotte,
Cosmos,
Emotions,
Frenchies,
dudes.
So many dudes.
Every single dude.
All the dudes.
And we couldn't help but wonder.
With Jamie Lee
and Rose Cerno.
I'm Jamie Lee.
And I'm Rose Jennifer Cerno.
I can't with these new intros. Okay. And this is
Couldn't Help But
Wonder.
A podcast where we talk about Sex and the City and how it relates
to us. Oh my good golly god. Today is such a special episode.
Today is a big day.
Today is a big damn day. Well, last week we did the finale, which, I mean, huge things are happening. And then this week we are doing our classic wrap-up show. But this is, like, I guess a wrap-up of the series, which is fucking wild. And, of course, we brought in an excellent guest, one of my dear friends, fucking hysterical stand-up comedian and writer of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Have you heard of it? Is that the name of the show?
Yeah, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
It is The Marvel. Okay, for some reason, I was like, I feel like that's one of those titles that I'm like, I could see myself being like, Mrs. Maisel. Like, I don't know. Anyways, whatever. Point is, today we have Allison Leiby. Allison Leiby, welcome to the program. We're so thrilled to have you.
Oh, I miss you both so much. This is such a treat.
I know. I have to say, Allison, basically 10 years ago when I was doing stand-up, Allison was like one of my main hoes in the mix. And so funny, so hardworking. And, you know, we live in different cities now. And just seeing your face is filling my heart with joy.
A delight. This is wonderful. I'm so happy to be here for such a seminal episode. You know,
it is so seminal.
So much
semen.
Can I just share
There's
something?
So much semen in it. What?
I did some research ahead of this app and I found out something really interesting about the real Mr. Big.
Okay.
Which I think is kind of significant. So the real Mr. Big was the publisher of Vogue magazine, and he was Ron Galeotti, and he was half Jewish, half Italian, which is so interesting because they make Big like a Catholic.
Yeah.
Like John.
Yeah.
It's an interesting
kind of waspy, honestly.
Yeah. Very waspy.
And there's some I just read this incredibly long New York magazine piece from 2004 by Jay McInerney, who's like a famous New York writer. And he did this like really in-depth profile about the real Mr. Big, which is Ron Galeotti. And he kind of described him. And this is like 12 years before like Trump became president or anything. And he describes him as kind of like a Jewish Italian Trump. Like he's always taught like really like getting in that he like has a Ferrari and is always like, here's some quotes I found directly from the real Mr. Big. Okay.
Fascinating. Let's have it.
Right.
Okay, there's two of them. First one, the thing about being half Italian and half Jewish, you don't know whether to steal it or try and get it cheaper.
Okay, wow.
Okay. Well, that's a hate crime.
The cheap seats in the back. Yeah.
It's comedy.
Yeah.
Okay, the second one.
Okay.
Jay McInerney says, this is not a quote directly from Galeotti. This is from Jay McInerney, who wrote the article. He said, he was dating Janice Dickinson at the time in 2004. So he called Janice babe. Women who were not present were broads. He seemed to bring his Ferrari into the conversation out of nowhere. As in, I heard this interesting thing on the radio the other day when I was driving to the Hamptons in my Ferrari.
Ew. Refers to their car by the brand.
Yeah.
Period. Even if someone was like, I jumped in my Honda, I'd be like, I was gonna say, that's a detail I don't need.
Wait, I really want someone to like name drop their Honda Civic constantly. So I took a trip to
Sienna and drove down the one.
The mountains are nothing like they are when I'm in my Acura. Yeah.
The sound system in my used bug.
Look, when I'm in my smart car, nothing else matters.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing else matters.
But the thing interesting is he says that this guy actually is kind of charming. Like listen, Trump is like an evil person, but But I think he had some kind of charm, which is why he was able to have power. But he was saying that this guy is like obviously kind of insecure and showy, but also like really sweet and actually like lovely. So it's kind of an interesting mix, and like ended up being like a real family guy and had a really intense life. He had a son who died when he was 4. And then he was like really scared to settle down and get married again because he was so scared of like losing a child and being a father again. So part of his like playboy thing came from him being like terrified of being a dad. And
wow,
then
that's
he,
super interesting.
And then he got over it and got married and has a five. Well, at the time in 2004, has a 5-year-old daughter named Abigail. And Jay McInerney was saying like when Abigail was present, like they had, you know, dinner at the house, he's always had an eye on her. And he's like, I have a kid too, but I don't watch them that much. But it makes sense considering what happened to his son. So he's like always watching his daughter, which is an interesting background on who Mr. Big was based on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
And she said that she called him Mr. Big in real life.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering.
In her New York Observer column, she called him Mr. Big because she said he had a huge personality and he lit up the room and every, it sounds like he was kind of like a fun, you know, half Italian, half Jewish, big personality, worked in publishing, knew everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
They really lose the half Jewish part.
And the half Italian. Yeah.
There's so nothing Jewish about Mr. Big. It's like the least Jewish character on television.
Yeah. No. Oh, Mr. Big on. Yeah. No.
The real
on
one.
The
real one.
Absolutely
yeah.
Not.
Or I'm sorry. The character.
He's like never.
He's the real one to me.
Also, Allison, yes, I had big beef on the show that the only Jewish representation is like the, like they try and make Harry as literally unappealing as possible. And they like make him like disgusting. Like he's like wiping his butt and balls on the white sofa.
Yeah. Like, just like.
I feel
sweating
like the
all
Jewish
the time.
Representation is kind of disgusting.
It's pretty bad. And also just like that's like you're in New York City and this is the first Jewish guy Charlotte dated, like her divorce attorney. Come
like,
on,
not
guys.
Even a half Jew. Like
on the
you
Upper
were,
East
like,
Side.
You were
you
trying.
Can't throw a rock
you were
without.
Deliberately trying not to date a Jew. Like, yeah. Wait. So, Al, just to get into your like history with the show, like what when did you first watch it, how do you feel about it, what's your history with SATC?
Good
I
question.
Watched it when it was on when it was on same. HBO, like when it aired, and I remember watching the finale like when I was like a sophomore in college, maybe was when that was. It was like 2004-3. Anyway, I have no idea. But like, I remember like watching, and it was like such a big, but it's like, you know, I'm sure this is something that you guys have talked about, but it's like, I watched it and like took it in as like a like 15 to 19 year old. And like now when I like watch it, which I do enjoy, like when I catch it on TV or like I'll throw it on in the background sometimes, it's like a great, funny, it's like a funny show. But
it's
I'm like,
so
oh,
funny.
Now that I'm the age of the women in the show, I'm like, this is both like way more relatable and also like way wrong in so many ways. And
yeah.
I love it.
How do you feel like the show has aged for you?
I think there's some things that just like from that era don't age because like of what our culture was. I think like the way it handles like anything besides like heteronormative relationships, it's just like, oh, you guys like weren't there. And I know most of the country wasn't there, but like, boy, is it hard to be like, this was 20 years ago and Carrie said bisexual people don't exist. Like, I just,
wow.
Okay, bold.
A whole episode about that.
Yeah, right.
Also, it is so interesting to be, I mean, we've said this before, but like to be a sex writer, like for that to really be how you make your money.
Yeah.
And Rose did that. Rose like actually was a Carrie Bradshaw. Mm-hmm. And like you, Rose, I feel like in the articles I've known that you've written, it was all about exploration and opening your mind and delving into things that, you know, maybe seem slightly taboo, but definitely not being like, what the fuck is this? Like, to
you know
me,
what's
it's
funny?
So, yeah.
You know what's funny, Allison? When you said, like, bisexuals don't exist, how crazy is that? I think that's an interesting example. Maybe I'm being annoying right now because, okay, I think a lot of people now still feel that way.
Yes.
Like,
no,
For some reason, I even think people are much more accepting of like gays and lesbians than they are of bisexuals. And I have to say, I dated a bi guy like 6 or 7 years ago. And I like to think of myself as like so open. And that was actually like hard for me. And I'm not saying that to brag. Yeah. That's not cool of me. But right. I don't know why it was challenging.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you were to write about it, it would come from a place of like, let's figure this out. Not like,
right. or like, let's figure this out.
People of real.
No,
also not. Also not like the person in front of me who's saying that they're bi. They're lying. Yeah.
No, 100%. But I do think for some reason, and this is toxic masculinity working its way inside of women, because what I thought in my head was the toxic masculinity that affects men and women, which is like, men who sleep with other men are always going to be secretly gay and they're just not there yet or something, which is right. totally unfair and
right.
not true. But I feel like we've all been brainwashed to think that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
It's just like funny because like Carrie was supposed to be this like progressive, like down for whatever. And like, I feel like her column in the show is basically just like a Zanga diary. And then like
what's
actual
Zanga?
Like, remember Zanga Diaries? X-A-N-G-A. It was like pre-blogs.
It's kind of like early like live journal stuff. Yeah,
it was like a live journal. And I feel like that was like how she was like, I'm just going to write stuff that happens to me. And it's like, that's not, I mean, okay, but like, that's not that interesting.
Right, as opposed
to like what I think sex writing has evolved into, which is like more interesting and broad, like, you know, consideration of like what, you know, our sexuality can be like.
Also, you know, like to write only about your experiences, it's so interesting because it's like on paper, like column wise, like week to week column wise, like her life was somewhat vanilla. So it's interesting to have a writer who's like completely like singular perspective driven versus more like experience driven. Because she doesn't really have that many experiences in a lot of ways. I mean,
she's a rich white lady. Like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Only so much happens to
only
her.
Only so much happens. There's only so much.
Another
like,
good week
water.
For me.
I'm going to disagree on this one.
Another good week for me. That's so funny.
Another good week for me. I actually disagree. And I have to say, when I was in New York doing that kind of writing, there was a lot of really talented people that do that kind of writing that I love. And I think just because she's white doesn't make it less interesting. Like, I think that her dating, I mean, if you enjoy watching the show, that's just her going on different dates, which I enjoy watching and reading about.
Right.
So I actually don't
mind. I'm just
mind.
Saying if she were a real person, I don't know that column would really do
it. I mean, that's what Carly Sorrentino does for Vogue.
Yeah, but she's like, yeah, I feel like she's a little more, I don't know.
I disagree. I
has
think
a little
that,
more flavor.
I mean, that's what Candace Bushnell literally did for 2 years that turned
that's
into
true.
The show. So yeah. I don't mind that at all. And I have to say, as somebody who did that, like, it's actually really hard when you have to use, because I was like a dating writer. And so I'd have to like particularly go on crazy, interesting dates to have stuff to write about. God. And it was actually sometimes really stressful. Like I always had to like invent these crazy scenarios. Like I remember once I went on OkCupid and went on a date with somebody. I pitched the story where it was my exact opposite match. Like they tell you like you're 99% like compatible. I chose somebody that was like 1% compatible and we had horrible date, of course. And I tried to try and make it this interesting story. So I like totally was like, yeah, you know, we really got along better than I thought. Whereas like in real life, it was just like an absolute dud. So that kind of writing is actually very hard to do, I think.
Totally.
It was just a testament to the power of the algorithm. It's like, turns out they nailed it. Yeah,
yeah, this guy sucks. I also once like for Cosmo had to use, you know, in Cosmo, I was always having to have weird sex. So they would like give me a toy and be like, have sex with someone with this toy and then like write about it. And sometimes I was single. So I'd have to call exes and be like, hey, I've got a weird toy.
Rose.
I mean, it's like my job.
Right. Work.
I was like, you don't want to do this. I don't want to do this, but this is my job. Like,
wow.
So I'm sure this will be a great sexual experience for me to write about if neither of us is interested.
Yeah, it's going to come from a really excited place.
Yeah, I want to be clear. This is going to be a transaction the entire time.
Yeah. So I have much respect for that kind of writing. It's really hard to do.
I feel like everything I read about your, I just think like it is surprising to me. I stand by my point. It's surprising to me that Carrie Bradshaw is a sex writer. And I feel like everything I've read by you, Rose, is like there is an exploration there, and I don't feel like she's exploratory.
Yes, she's closed-minded.
I'm talking about. It's strange to be a sex writer who is closed-minded.
I agree. Yes. And also, it's not like she's, like a lot of great writers who write for first-person stuff, they're like, you know, even what I said about a bisexual guy, it's all about me questioning my own judgments, right? And like, why am I like this? As opposed to like, this is what
being
I think.
Like, are they real?
Yeah. I think it's very little self-exploration.
That's
with her.
My point. Yes. And I find it so fascinating for that to be your line of work. By the way, if it started from that place, if we're talking even just from a writing TV writing standpoint, if it started from that place, I would get it. But it never grew into... Yeah. More like, it never built upon itself. It always reset to zero, which is part of like episodic
writing. Yeah.
Which I get. But also there are other things, other storylines that built over the course of the season. So it's interesting to me that her sex career stayed pretty linear.
That's interesting, Jamie. I think you bring up a really good point, because it's like there was one tiny episode where she went to therapy, did not like what the therapist said, because the therapist was like, you need to look at yourself. And she never did it again and never approached it again. So it's almost like the only way this particular character functions is with like zero self-reflection.
Yeah. That's scary.
That's scary. But also, even when you're talking about like, you got a sex toy, it's like, imagine the episode where she gets a sex toy she's supposed to try. She'd be like, whoa, like, it vibrates. You'd be like, OK, Carrie, we need to talk. Like, this is your fucking industry.
Job.
Like,
you're really right about that.
You also don't know any other like sex writers or like, it's just like, it's interesting to have it come from that viewpoint. And again, I'm not minimizing what Candace Bushnell did. I think that it's just, I mean, and they are going to reboot the show. I'm curious if she'll be a little more curious.
You know what? Now that you said that, Jamie, the real sex writer, it would be Samantha, obviously.
Obviously.
That's the sex writer.
Obviously.
But you know what? I almost think it's just a semantics thing, because she's not that experimental with sex, but I do
think... Semantics?
Yes.
Samantha.
I need to die. I should die. Yes.
Goodbye. I'm siding off.
I'm going to go die.
Oh, Jamie left.
No, I'm dead.
I think that Carrie is a dating writer. She's a woman who's single who wants to be married. And she's writing about trying to get married.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. So
it's not sex in the city. It's find a husband in the city.
Yeah. In the city. Yep. Exactly.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay. I have questions for Allison.
Yes.
Oh, wait. Right. Let's start with... Okay, so we usually start every episode, and we have sort of derailed from this today, which is fine. But we usually start by saying who we were this week. So you can pick... It could be one of the girls or literally like Stanford or whoever, whoever's in the show. And you just say who you were this week and why you were.
And
that.
Then Jamie and I will go first so you can get a vibe for it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Get a vibe.
Give me a vibe.
Hang out.
But you go first, Rose. I don't know yet.
I would say I'm a full Carrie because I've been spending a lot of money lately I make more than I do. I've been having $30 lunches and just throwing down left and right. And I think because I'm vaccinated and my back is feeling better and it's hot girl summer and I'm feeling good, I'm starting to get into my irresponsible capitalism vibe, which is my normal vibe. So I think that's a classic Carrie to just be like, I only have $8 in my bank account. I should probably put these shoes on credit card. So I think that's really my vibe right now these days is like sort of a how fast can you spend? Shop till I drop.
Well, also the weather is nice and it's like you just get into that mode of being also, like, it's all possible. Like, spring has sprung, you know, like new beginnings. It's
and
like,
I forgot how expensive being a woman is, like the beauty maintenance, like especially in your late 30s where it's like the skin stuff starts to get very expensive.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't do that shit for a year. Like, I didn't do Botox. I didn't do facials. I didn't like really dye my hair. And now it's like, oh, all coming back.
Can I say something about facials? There's this dermatologist that I follow because I used to get facials kind of a lot.
Your skin is amazing, Jamie.
Yeah,
that's just from skin. That's unreal that you're saying that to me. I had literally the worst fucking acne of anybody I'd ever seen for so long. So when
it looks great,
I'm like, that's actually crazy to me. But it's mostly just from drinking water. But
wow, good.
And like that actually is like a thing that I've noticed. I'm like, oh yeah, when I increase my water intake, my skin like fully changed. It's so annoying when it actually is true. You know,
I know,
because it's like. You want to believe in a product and then it's like, it's actually not a product.
Just
that's
water.
So fucking annoying. I just want to like pay my way to beauty. Anyways.
I know.
So
same.
So, but I follow this dermatologist on Instagram and she has beautiful skin and she's just super knowledgeable and like always does these short videos where I learn something different about whatever, skincare or anything. And she was saying that facials are like kind of a myth and that... They're really relaxing and you you have.
I don't know if it's the same thing, but I've seen this idea put out by a dermatologist.
I don't know if there's like an anti-facial league that's happening or something, but all the dermatologists. But yeah, it's more of like a spa treatment. It's not actually necessary. And when you go to facialists, they always go like, when was the last time you had a facial? And you're like, like 3 months ago. And they're like, okay, well, you should step it up or whatever. And it turns out it's all bullshit. Like, just take care of your skin at night. And like, you don't have to get one unless you want to.
I believe that 1,000%.
I thought it was really calming. I was like, oh, I can stop spending money on that.
Yeah. That's nice. Freeing.
It is nice.
Spend that money on something else.
Yeah. Put it towards something else I don't need.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, that's important to remember is, like, when you go to your cosmetic dermatologist or whatever, like, when I go to my Botox guy, he's always, like, recommending these particular products that are so expensive, and they sell them there, and I think he gets a cut of it. So
of course.
It's like, yeah, they want you to use their $350 night moisturizer, but I use CeraVe, and it's exactly the same.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah.
My sunscreen is, what is that one?
La Mer.
No. It's like Eucerin or something. Hmm. It sounds.
Oh, yeah.
It just sounds like a
is
disease.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's
or
great.
Like a medication.
SPF 30.
Yeah, it sounds like something you can be diagnosed with.
Yeah, I definitely suffer from use. I have Eucerism. I've had it for a long time. What is it? Eucerin? Eucerism?
We're going to Eucerize you.
Yeah, but anyways, their SPF 30 lotion's awesome, and I've used it for years, and it costs like $9. So
that's what I'm saying. I mean, a lot of times when somebody with gorgeous skin is like, it's this amazing product, it's like, it's genetics, like, bitch. You've always had gorgeous
fucking
skin.
Genetics. And if you're drinking a lot of water, I do think that makes a big difference.
Also, really like cheese and dairy gives you tons of more pimples and whiteheads.
Yeah, totally. My skin gets... In fact, I used to not think I had any dairy issues. And then recently I'm like, I do think I am lactose intolerant. Like, just in terms of
just
like...
Just push through it, Jamie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it is so delicious. It's more like milk or like half and half. That's when I feel like
milk,
shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
who are you this week, Jamie?
Yeah. Who are you?
Oh, right. I too was probably a full. Ooh, wait. I was in LA, so I guess I'm all four of the girls when they take their LA trip. I was there for 4 days, which is a very short. 3 days? How long was I there, Skylar? 3 days?
The 31st to the 2nd.
Yeah, I'm like. I think that.
So I think that's four.
It felt like a very quick trip. It also, because I am separated, I stayed in a hotel,
no, 30th.
Which was fucking. Oh, thank you, Skylar.
Sorry. this giant calendar back here that helps me count.
But no, I stayed in a hotel. I didn't see friends. It was just like
I was
very
so sad.
I know. If I am so sorry, I hated that.
It's
I couldn't see anybody. It just got to be really.
I made a doll out of my own hair of you and had a hangout. It was really.
Well,
fun.
You can just send that to me. don't keep that. But yeah, it was just very strange. It was like.
Was it fun? Did you have a good time?
Fun. Yeah. I mean, I was working the entire time. So
was it just promoting your show?
Yeah. I did like Whitney Cummings podcast and some other things, like a Fortune Feamster, a lot of podcasts mostly, cool. But awesome. Whitney's is in person, so you have to like be there. But yeah, it was just a very busy trip, but it was just strange, like being in LA in almost actually is very much like Sex and the City, because when they were in LA, and we talked about this during those LA episodes, remember how they were like on the Sunset Strip the whole time? And we were like, that is not our LA. Like their LA is like so creepy and like fugazi. And I felt like mine was not that. I really liked the hotel I stayed in, and like, it was actually in Beverly Hills, but it wasn't like a Beverly Hills hotel. It was very unpretentious.
I love Beverly Hills Hilton.
Me too.
It was just like not your typical, I was kind of nervous about staying in Beverly Hills because it's so weird over there. And it was like very nice and easy.
I have to say I'm feeling triggered because I'm talking to two beautiful Jewish women who used to live in LA and were like, actually, fuck that. And now live in New York.
Yeah.
But we could be there at any moment.
At any point, I could have to be there and I would just go there because I love money.
There we go. Yeah.
And really, my love of money trumps my love of New York, unfortunately.
Allison, who the hell were you this week and why?
Who the hell? God, tell us.
I guess I'm Miranda's baby because I don't remember anything that happened before today. I'm just like, so
that's amazing.
Oh, you're like, what did God, you do I'm this obsessed. Week? And I'm like, today? What day is it?
Oh my God. I also love that you say Miranda's baby.
Instead of Brady.
Instead of Brady. I don't know why Miranda's baby made me laugh so hard.
No, that's incredible.
Oh, I love that.
I guess what defined my week, aside, I did buy a handbag, so I feel like that's very hairy.
That's very Miranda's baby.
It's so Brady.
Yeah, so Brady.
He's a handbag head.
Yeah, he is such a purse
I have
whore.
Been hunting, he really is, for years for a 90s Coach bucket bag.
Ooh, can I see it?
Oh, dang.
Yeah, I'll show it to you.
Okay, wow.
But like, the problem with the vintage Coach bucket bags of the 80s and 90s is if you had one, you wore it to death because it was your everyday bag. Okay. So like, if they're on, you know, eBay or like the like they're always just like super beat up or like $700, which I'm never gonna pay for a Coach bag. But
oh,
I found
God.
One for a reasonable price.
Can you tell us the price?
It was like $220.
My grandma would be so proud of you for finding that on sale.
Yeah. I was like, that's like the price of a Madewell bag.
Yes.
I'll like drop it in the chat. I'll drop it in the chat here.
Okay,
however
I
do that.
Also, I'm remembering when I first met Allison, she and her best friend Divya had this hilarious fashion blog where they showed
Oh my God,
the worst.
I remember that.
Heavy browsing.
Yeah, heavy browsing was hilarious. You guys showed the worst fashion and then did hilarious jokes on it.
It was so much fun.
Oh, that was such a funny
so
blog.
So pretty. Wait, did you get a green one?
I got green.
Beautiful.
I got a dark green, emerald green,
gorgeous.
90s Coach bucket bag for my everyday.
I don't understand purses. It's like the one thing I don't get. Like, I don't know what makes a good purse, believe it or not.
Anything, whatever you want.
Me neither. I also don't change purses that often. I have like three
Me
bags
neither.
In it. It's pretty heavy rotation. It's been the same ones for like 4 years.
My favorite purse that I wear every day is this.
That's amazing.
It's just a bunch of boobs.
Guys, what we're looking at is different types
different
of, it looks
tits.
Like hand-painted tits
on a tote.
Tits on a tote.
My, like, tits on a tote. I have a small 80s Coach purse.
Okay.
And then I have a giant, like, a collection of cotton totes that I just, like, throw shit in. And then, like, I always have, like, one large one. And mine just finally wore out. And I was like, I guess I'll be going out to places again soon. I could buy a bag. So a little Carrie, a little Miranda's baby. I also burnt the living fuck out of the roof of my mouth eating cheese. Ah. So a little Steve, I think.
Wait, oh, good one.
That feels like
hot
Steve.
Cheese or hot cheese, like a physical temperature, or a spicy cheese that.
No, like hot, like I.
Flame and hot cheese?
Flame and hot cheese. No, I did baked feta with chickpeas and like. Just it went from like under the broiler to the roof of my mouth in like 65 seconds.
Wait,
I think it was a second degree burn.
You couldn't wait 1 second.
Well, like I ate a bite of the chickpeas and they were not that hot because chickpeas don't get very hot. And so I was like, oh, so this is all fine. And I like put a little bit of feta on bread and like scooped a tomato on it and like bit into it. And I could feel it like sear. Like
I could hear it.
I've been unable to eat like anything but very soft, very mild foods for like. I just was able to eat like regular foods yesterday. It was like 5 days.
Okay, wait, Allison, you actually made me think that as far as who I was this week, I'm also, I have to add to that a Miranda, because Miranda seems like the one who gets like a little bit into weird funks where she's like eating out of the trash and stuff. Because
yes.
I have been really obsessed with Top Chef to the point where like as soon as the sun goes down, I watch like 6 hours, like almost every night.
Oh my God.
And there's a part of me that's
I support this.
No, but there's a part of me of like, is that like the first sign of depression to watch that much television at once very regularly?
Yeah, you're a TV. You're a TV consumer, that's writer.
True. Yeah. Enthusiast. And also like, I feel like as we're still like climbing out of the pandemic,
it's not like people are going out. Yeah.
And also a show like Top Chef, like it's the same people every week. They're on a journey. Like it's emotion. I think like Top Chef is a very emotional television program. And I'm just like, that's
and
fine.
Then there's the food component, which is like you can like quite so literally fun. Sink your teeth into that as well. Yes. So it's like
so good. I think it's the best. It's one of the best reality shows.
Agreed. It is. That's why it's been on for like 73 seasons.
Yeah.
It's
do we like, agree that Tom Colicchio is cute?
Yes.
Who does he look like besides himself as a famous person?
He looks like Cal Ripken, which is a Baltimore reference just for me.
I don't know. I know
he's
the name,
a baseball player on the Orioles. Like it, you would not know.
He's kind of like a hot Dr. Evil a little.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little.
Good one, Jamie.
Thanks.
I have his first book from when he was at Gramercy Tavern, and I don't have
that
here,
was where he was at?
Oh, I love Gramercy Tavern.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Me too.
That's
and,
such a good restaurant.
On his author photo on the back of the book or like on the jacket, he has hair. It's like from that long ago.
I love hair.
Good. He has like Bruce Willis vibes.
So I feel like he's good without it.
Yeah.
He looks great without it.
He looks great without hair.
You know what? Harry, the actor who plays Harry, I guess on Instagram, he just posted a picture of himself with hair when he was in his 20s. He looks totally different.
Wow.
Wow.
So anyway, Sex and the City.
I gotta see that.
Wow.
Okay, so bringing it back.
Yeah, do you have a favorite episode, Allison? Do you have an episode that you'll never forget that you just fucking love?
I will say that there's like a lot of love in the finales for me, or like in finales in general, but like the finale episodes, like especially, like I would say that like shockingly, the finale works as cry porn for me in a way that I'm surprised by. And it's not Carrie and Big, it's Miranda. Mm-hmm. And like she's like giving her mother-in-law a bath.
Please.
And like Magda
I
clocks
chills.
Her.
Chills.
It like it
chills.
Will like I would tear up right now if I keep talking. It's like I think it's because I'm like, I aspire to have that kind of emotion one day.
I thought you were gonna say I aspire to have that relationship with my cleaning lady.
She's like, she's growing. And I'm like, thank you. But like I feel like that's so it's so touching, but it's also so just like deeply sad because it's like it's a good thing for Miranda that she's like evolving as a woman and a mother and a caretaker. But also it's like now also this is like about like the end of Steve's mom's life and about loss and about aging. And like I just think there's so it's like very surprising to me because like usually I don't think of Sex and the City as like particularly emotional, like even the breakups and the whatever. But like that gets me. And then I just like the old episodes where they had the testimonial to camera
like the first episode
season
stuff?
One I think they're so funny, like they're just like
I just
it's
love
just
that
jokes.
As a device
it's so I can't,
everything
like,
I write I want to have two camera like I just fucking
too.
Love
it's
two camera
so funny and like I'm sad they lost it, I get why they did like or where the show went, but it's just like it's fun. It's like that guy'd be like, my wife's over on, she's an idiot. She belongs on Idiot Island. You're like, that's just funny. That's just
you
funny.
You know what?
Yeah, and
say,
everyone did it. I forgot. Everybody, the ancillary characters talked to camera. They had what were we going to say, Sky?
I was going to say, it's a little like old school Real World where it's like, we're going to just toss to the people of New York and they're going to give us their perspective on this week's question.
Yeah, you're right. You're
obviously,
right.
I don't want to give him props, but Woody Allen started that in the 70s with random, like him talking to random people on the street. So what do you think about women? Can they ever really, I mean, he really started that. And that's a really funny rom-com trope to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, it's so interesting because it's such a, again, just to get to the like writing part of it, it is a big device to remove once the show's on the air. Like it's a pretty big format swing.
Yeah.
To then be like, I think we're going to drop that. And like, we're not going to get people's perspectives. It's just, it's interesting.
I have to say, I do agree with you, Allison, that it adds a lot of jokes. But I actually think
that it was a good choice to ditch it, because I think that the relationship between the four girls, women, is strong enough that you don't need these pop outs, which makes it a little less grounded and a little more of like a comedy.
Right.
Right. Which is ultimately why they. Yeah.
Yeah. They like wanted like a show that has like depth, and I think that they have that. But like, I just love. I was just watching Wayne's World 2 because it was on TV before
I just
this.
Rewatched.
And it's just like
it's all jokes.
Every line is a joke. It's jokes about making the movie. It's jokes like to camera, but it's jokes like
Wayne's World is genius. There's nothing funnier.
There's nothing funny, and I remember seeing Liz's movie.
There's literally like nothing. There's nothing that movie doesn't do. Like they're not like. It's not trying to be a certain type of movie. It's just trying to be like the funniest possible movie.
That's a good way to put it.
Sorry, I interrupted you, Al. Keep going.
Oh, just that like I, as a writer and a viewer, like want there to be more comedies like that. And there just aren't. Like everybody's like, what if it's sadness with four jokes? And everybody's like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And I'm like, can you please bring back Wayne's World and do like visual bits?
That's why Barb and Star was a revelation, I think.
Barb and Stars,
yes.
You know what was one of my funniest, one of my favorite stupid jokes in Wayne's World. I mean, there's so many of them. Every second of that movie is funny.
Yeah.
But when Garth is like wearing head to toe Reebok and he's like, it's just really sad when people just start to like sell out.
That whole run that they do with all the branded stuff is so funny.
Mike Myers is unbelievable, because also, what is that? Harry It. What is that? So I Married an Axe Murderer?
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Obsessed.
He's
that
so funny.
That movie blew my mind. I remember seeing that in the theater with my parents. Yes. I had no idea what it was about. They took me to it. And I remember leaving being like, that's maybe the funniest thing I've ever seen. And then I still feel that way. Isn't it crazy when you see something as a kid?
It holds
and
up.
And as a kid with like an immature, like what's the word I'm looking for? Like lack of references type mind.
Totally.
You still find it funny. And then it also works as an adult. Like, it's so weird. You're like, you're almost like divorced from who that person was, yet both of you enjoyed it. It's just like insane to me. That is the way it works.
Also, his weird Scottish grandfather.
Oh my God. The dad. No, his parents are from Scotland.
Kid, get out of the way, you freaking head.
I mean,
that was the worst impression, but I think we know the general idea of what that was supposed to be.
Kid, move now. Obsessed.
But even without like being the heavy comedy, like Sex and the City did like have a lot of very, 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 my friends and I still like, well, when we call each other every once in a while, the episode where I think Miranda's calling Steve. Yeah. She's like, and she like calls and she like has, and she's like, hey, Steve. Hey, Steve. Like,
Steve.
Like, it's just like, she's very funny.
She's
like a great, great comedic actress.
Amazing. All four of them are pretty slamming.
Really good.
Yeah, it's, I mean, yeah. I mean, Kim Cattrall's whole delivery throughout the series, like how she's just kind of like this, like she almost has this like fake, like dignified accent of just being like, well, and then you have to suck his dick. Like, it's just very like,
it's just such a funny choice.
Funny contrast to sound like so aristocratic. And then like, you're
That's
literally just talking about like blowjobs. It's such a funny contrast.
It's so funny.
Yeah. It's fun. It like, it's like, what is it? The mid-Atlantic accent, like delivering, like, let me talk about sucking dick for like every episode is amazing.
Amazing. Yes. I wonder how deliberate that was. In fact, it was deliberate because I've heard her or I've seen her in other things and she didn't sound like that. Like that was a choice. I don't know who made that choice, but it was dialed
up. It's a good
up.
Choice. It's a great really comedy
good,
choice.
Really good choice. Yeah.
Of all the guys Carrie has dated, Allison and Jamie, are there any that stick out to you as people that really remind you of situations you've been in or like, oh,
I love
totally
that question.
Dated that guy.
Oh, wow.
There's the alcoholic. There's David Duchovny in the mental institution.
Like,
There's a Jewish guy with a small penis. There's Howie, who's terrible in bed.
Oh, yeah. There's the, there's so many. Ugh. It's hard for me to like connect, like, I feel like so many of my like relationships and the men I've gone out with that were like iconically a thing or whatever were when I was much younger, and they don't map as well to like these guys in their 30s.
Cause that's
like,
so true.
They all had so many problems and were absolute pieces of shit, but like they were 20s pieces of shit in like very specific ways. Whereas like, I feel like the guys in Sex and the City are like grown adult men with their
horrible.
Own awful baggage.
I definitely like, feel like I
not
dated,
all of them are horrible, but
I've dated bigs in certain ways, which I feel like just I've dated some really slick charmers who were sort of bullshit.
Yeah, a lot of those.
I definitely, I mean, when that guy was like jackhammering her.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
The jackhammer sex, I was like, oh, that's like, that's the 20s. First time that's happened that's to my... her.
Right. That's, I'm like, does she not have sex not with anyone of their 30s?
Did she go to college or not?
Also, the fact that he gets like super pissed at her is also a very real thing.
You're that right. Is so true.
He's like so mad. And it's just like, he's like, what I made did you love think to this you. Was?
I,
was,
yeah, like, that was is the... I wouldn't have made love to you like that.
I wouldn't have made love to you like that. Oh my God.
How about you, Jamie? Any of those, any of her guys kind of remind you of like been there, done that? And like,
I mean, I'm trying to like, I guess pieces of Aiden in that
hippie kind of dude.
I more that there's nothing wrong with him, but it's also not right. I Got feel it. Like that is very, that is probably like my most common situation is I will. In the past, I've like, I'll like have been with someone and I'm like, I can't put my finger on it.
But I'm not obsessed.
Like on paper, everything's good. Yeah. And he's like lovely, but it's like, I'm just kind of bored.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I also, they had nothing in common.
No.
Like they had not one thing in common.
Carrie could have, Carrie could have tried making furniture. I think she would have been good at it. She didn't even give it a try.
I mean, the scene where the whole episode Carrie's where ego. She hated the cabin. I was like, you guys doing this same stuff. This is over.
Yeah.
I loved what she wore to the cabin. It was like total like cabin slut porn.
Yeah. Yeah. It really was. It was like cabin cosplay.
It really was. She was like doing pigtails and like
It's like a gingham like sleeveless shirt like tied under her bra. And it's like, what is this? Yeah. There's bugs there.
You goofball. Yeah.
I would need to be at like head to toe like
deet.
Like mosquito netting.
Yeah, exactly. Deet. Also, it's so funny. Like, they, wait, what did you say? What did you say, Rose?
Like a turtleneck. Oh, just deet. It's like a bug spray.
Oh, yes, yes. No, absolutely. Also, it's funny because it's like they weren't like in Arkansas. They were in like they weren't like Southern stereotype bumpkins. They were like in the Catskills or like
well, they. Carrie even goes back to the city in that episode and then goes back to the cabin. So it's like
45
they're
minutes
like,
outside the city or something. And you're like, what is this like? Like Beverly Hillbillies.
It's like Hudson. It's like beautiful restaurants like 5 minutes away.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's like a wine bar literally like around the corner.
It's for city people.
Yes.
Like that's what it's the outdoors Carrie's, for city people.
Carrie's treating it as like as if like they're going to get power any day out here.
Also, right. It's like, not like girl. She actually was camping. It's not like she was in a tent. It's like there was a king-size bed. Yeah.
And then there wasn't the squirrel that she was alarmed by. Wasn't that outside of...
It was on the windowsill.
It was on the windowsill.
Also, a fucking squirrel, bitch. You've never seen a squirrel before? You've seen them.
They're all over the city. I'm staring at them right now.
As
they're
are
everywhere.
Rats, which are worse.
Yeah, which are way worse. But she doesn't take the subway. I don't even think she knows what a rat is.
That's true.
So what did you guys, well, Allison, what did you think about her and Big ending up together? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I like her with Big. I think it makes sense. I think like this. He is what she wants. Like, I think of all of the men she dated, like that's the one that like actually makes, and also like they've engineered it so that it does make sense because that is the ending. But like, I just think that like, she's kind of, they're kind of two sides of the same coin. Like, I think he has a lot of the things she needs that no one else provided, which was like this insane stability wealth wise. And like, that's real.
Yep,
like,
that's
she
true.
Really yeah. does need that. Even though she obviously like is, but eventually like provides it for herself.
She
but,
needs
like,
a bit of a daddy though in that way.
She does. And she needs like someone who's like got his own thing going on and is fine with her. I mean, that was like the problem with Aiden. He's like, stay home. And it's like, she's an out at night.
She's
gal.
An outer.
Like,
yeah, she's an outie.
She's going to be like going to parties and stuff like that. And like, that's also his vibe. And like, I think that those things work together. So like, I was very happy when they ended up together.
It's a New York power couple for sure.
Yeah, I think that that's like, and I think status is important to Carrie.
It is
like,
so important.
And they don't want to ever admit that. It's like, but that's a real thing.
Just be
like, I understand
be real
it
about
makes,
it.
Right. I understand that like, you know, a viewer, especially somebody who's not in New York or L.A., or like, it like is not going to understand that that's, but like, that's genuinely important to her. And she wanted that. And like, he has that and no one else did. So
I think you're right.
I mean, I guess like
these are great points. I'm like, it's also because I'm definitely not bothered by them ending up together necessarily. I mean, there's parts of it because he was so shitty to her in so many ways.
Yes, yes.
But so that's the part that I don't like is that like if my friend were in that situation and it's just like kept not working, I think there would be a big part of me that would be like, it sucks, but like maybe you just need to let him go.
Yes, fully.
And I don't like the sloppy seconds element of like, I discovered by shitting on you for 40 years that you're the one. You're like, oh, cool, thanks.
I just had to like marry a 28-year-old to figure out that I'd rather be with your old ass.
Yes, exactly. And like,
it's so funny.
But then she chipped her tooth and I wasn't attracted to her anymore. So right. I'm, you know, but yeah,
my 28-year-old got broken.
She was great. She was great when she was 28. Then she turned 29. I was like,
what the fuck do I do with this?
Yeah.
No one told me. Yeah.
How quickly they go to seed.
I love that you brought up the two sides of the same coin. That's exactly right. And there's like almost nothing. There's no amount of logic to be applied when you are so similar as people.
Yeah, I think. And also just like, especially because it's on the heels of like how awful
Alexander is.
Yeah, he's such a bad fit for her and like has like obviously like some of the qualities of Big that like he has the wealth, he has the status or whatever. But he like ultimately like doesn't like her. He just wants another kind of her. He wants like a pretty lady who's going to be around when I need her. And like Carrie needs to do her own thing. And like I think that Big like has never been someone in the show that like stopped Carrie from doing the things she wanted to do. If anything, he was like a little too detached and she's like, can't we do stuff together? And he's like, do your thing, I'll do my thing. But like, I think like her independence is like weirdly important to her, even though she's a codependent person.
It's an interesting point.
But like he provided
these are
that.
Great points. I'm loving this. That's a really, really good analysis. Yeah. Also, when you think about what he like, I also think they have, and it's sort of unspoken in the show, but I think they have like insane sexual chemistry. Which I feel like they kind of touch upon more in the movie, which we'll get to on this show. But yeah, I think that like it's very good. I think Big is like a fucking stallion.
Yeah. Their chemistry reminds me a little bit of Joan and Roger on Mad Men.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
You could just tell like these two people, like it's probably not right. And like, of course, like on that show, it's not right for them. But like, you could just tell, like, watching, even just, like, these actors have chemistry. Like, there is an undeniable, like, crackling energy to that.
And I think Chris Noth and SJP do, too.
I think so, too. Totally.
I also think that, and I kind of am just coming to this conclusion in this moment, I also think that even though we were just talking about how Big dated the younger girl, I actually think that Big made Carrie feel really young. Because he
really
was like, you old man, you know, you listen to these goofy songs on your what? Yeah, exactly. I know. Exactly. But I think
which for men and women is he's basically younger than her.
He's basically younger than you. But yeah, I feel like she loved calling him old man. And there was that whole run of like, it's not corny, it's classic. Was that from this? Didn't they have something like that when he played the records
when he
plays,
I think, Moon River when Moon he's River, when they're. That's right. Clearing out his apartment and they paint that wall red.
I feel
red.
Like that's where she was really. And then he also like had a heart attack. So that kind of ages him. Yeah. Like, I think there's part of it that makes Carrie feel really like fun and playful and like his little like youthful sex pot.
Yeah. I mean, that's also the episode where she dresses as a like hot nurse. Candy striper.
Oh, too. Yeah.
So there's like they are, that's baked into their dynamic. Like the age difference is part of what they like, it seems.
I have to say, I think what you said about how similar they are is kind of suddenly hitting me because I think when Jamie and I have talked about them together in the past, I don't remember, but I think we kind of came to like a neutral point where there's like, there's pros, there's cons. It's both romantic and kind of jaded that they're together. But I think something I didn't think about is the truth of being with someone long-term is you actually do really need to be with somebody who has similar interests and likes doing what you do. And they're both absolute New Yorkers. They love mm-hmm. being in the city of New York. They love galas. They love fashion shows. They love great restaurants. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing where it's like,
they also love being connected. They love, like, I know someone who works there who yes. can get us in. Like, they yeah. love all of the conveniences.
He spends
of,
money
like,
on
status.
Clothes in the same way yes. that she does.
Yeah.
Like, impeccable suits. Like, he gets it.
And those are like, you see those cute New York couples who are like in their 60s and they're still like in the Upper East Side. Yeah. They're still going to the museum openings. And it's like, that's a real right. dynamic.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Agreed. Okay. Well, guys, this brings us. We don't have a question of the episode this week because we don't have an episode. So we are going to skip right
to. The question is Allison Leiby perfect? And the answer is.
Yes.
Yeah, she is.
Yes. Yes. Okay, great. That's been settled. But then.
Great. Glad we got there.
Yeah. Okay. Really glad we. Yeah. I'm glad we cracked that one. Okay. Here we go. Our final segment is I'm horny for. Sex and the City is obviously a very horny show. So we end each episode by sharing what we are currently horny for. Rose, what are you horny for right now?
Okay. I'm horny for a new podcast that I started listening to. It's called, I just found it off Wondery. And
oh,
it is called
it, whatever it is.
The Spy. Hang on. Sorry. This is like the most.
You shagged me?
Okay. Yes. So.
It's just a, yeah, reading, it's just of a reading of the script of The Spy Who Shagged Me.
It's alive.
It's really good.
It's a live acapella. No. My horny for this week is a Wondery podcast called The Spy Affair. And it is okay. about Maria Butina, this hot redhead Russian that's now in jail because they think she's a spy. She was the one who had cozied up to all these Republican senators and congresspeople and the NRA and brought them to Russia and kind of started bridging this like Russia GOP connection. And it's absolutely a riveting listen because she's the interviewer, who I guess is a journalist, has been like going to the prison and interviewing her. And you hear the woman, Maria Butina, the supposed spy who is alleging that she's not at all and she just actually wanted to like get better relationships between Russia and the United States. And she's like this young, hot, like fire red haired girl who's like sleeping with these like 60-year-old senators. And she's like, no, I really genuinely loved him. And you're like, okay.
Okay.
But the thing that's great to listen to is she sounds so genuine. Like her vibe is so pleasant and lovely. And the way she tells her story that you're like, wow, this woman is good. Like, you like her and you're like, I totally see how it almost is like psychotic because it's like she is a spy, obviously, but she reads so genuine. So it's a really good mystery. That's my horny for.
Okay, awesome.
What about you, Jamie?
Okay, I just downloaded it. Oh, I'm horny for my fucking TV show. I can't believe it's coming out.
Yeah.
It comes out on Wednesday, April 7th. Woo. This comes out on Tuesday, right? So it comes out tomorrow. Yeah, April 7th, The Wedding Coach on Netflix. I can't believe that it's
Yay.
Here. It's crazy. Yeah.
Can't wait to watch it.
Can't wait.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm excited. Al, what are you horny for?
I am getting my vaccine on Tuesday, like today, like whenever this comes out. J&J, one and done. So I am horny.
Oh my
for
god, it's so chic.
Being alive again.
Science.
Yeah.
I'm horny for science.
That's a good horny.
I feel
for.
Like we were talking before we started recording that like I can't wait to just like go to Nordstrom and then like get my eyebrows done and like get a pedicure and like all those. I'm excited to like be out in the world in a real way. So I'm horny for that.
Do you guys want to hear something gross or not gross?
Yes.
Okay. So I always do callus removal when I get a pedicure and it was like
of course.
11 pounds because it has been like a year. They were like, oh my God. It was like another foot.
A pile
came
of
off
shavings.
No, my feet are like beaks right now. It's just like, it's so hard and so awful.
Also, the listeners were very much involved, went on the back journey with me. So I'm also very horny for my dear beloved Allison's back being on the other side of that. I'm glad that you're back.
Yes. I'm glad that, 50% of the people on the air of this podcast right now are representing herniated discs and laminectomies and discectomies. So, you know, it's important to be seen.
30-something going on 100-something.
Yes, truly made of glass. No, now I'm made of titanium. So
Made of glass.
Just absolutely disintegrating.
The
under
wind
any
blows
pressure.
And we're both drop dead.
Dead.
Oh my God. I'm so glad you guys are feeling better. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah. At different times, I was very worried about both of you. So it's really nice to be on the other side of that.
Yeah. No, this
is great. Well, this was the Jewish American princess of our dreams, Allison.
Oh, yes.
I'm so happy, Allison, I got to be here.
Where do you want people to find you? Where can they, go?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Allison Leiby. And you can also follow my podcast and listen to it with, it's me and the very funny Hallie Kiefer, a friend of this pod, I'm sure. And she ruins horror movies for me, so I don't have to see them because I'm too scared.
That's a great concept. What is the podcast called for everybody?
It's called Ruined, and the Instagram and Twitter handles are at Ruined Podcast.
It's so funny. It's really,
it's
really
deranged.
Funny. Yeah, it's great. No, it's such a good idea, and it's, you guys are so funny together. So yeah, it's great. Okay, yeah, well, so thank you for being here, Allison, and
thank you for having me.
Oh my God, you're a dream guest. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, listeners, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Couldn't Help But Wonder. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CHBWPod, and follow my co-host Rose Cerno on Insta and Twitter at Rose Cerno. And please follow my co-host Jamie at ReallyJamieLee on Instagram and at TheJamieLee on Twitter. And please rate, review, subscribe to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app if you're nasty. It helps us, it helps you, it helps everyone.
You nasty. Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.